turning to Psalm 119. We just went through last Sunday night. Verse 5, it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Let's actually go back to verse 1, and then we'll read down through verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart, and when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly." So we see there that David was expressing in verse 5 his desire of his heart for conformity to God's word. There is reward in blessing. That's kind of the reason I picked the trust and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than but to entrust and obey. And if we're not obedient children, then of course we're in the woodshed. We're getting in trouble. We're getting reproved. But he says there in Psalm 119, verse 6, he says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." See, in verse 5, we looked at that. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." See, there's much blessing in obedience. But when we think about it being ashamed, "Then shall I not be ashamed." What brings shame? Sin. Sin brings shame. So therefore, when we're living in sin, we're ashamed. But when we're living for God, he says, "When I have respect unto all thy commandments," he's not ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of when we're doing right. But see, when it comes to God's command, it is not a pick or choose list of things that God commands us. Or otherwise, it would be like saying that God had multiplied unnecessary commands, which would be saying that his grace is really not sufficient to enable us to completely be obedient. And that's not true. Because we know according to the scriptures, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Everything he asks us to do, he enables us to do. He gives us the power to do it. And if he asks us to go out and do something, he'll also provide the means to do it. See, God never does anything that he doesn't enable us to do. And a good example for these, as we see that talking about being ashamed or not shame, or sin brings shame, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. I know we don't see this part of the Bible very often, but Genesis chapter 3, or should I say the book of beginnings, because there's a lot of things started here in Genesis. It's a very foundational book. Has a lot of great truths in it. But Genesis 3, this is where we're looking at when Satan lied to Eve about eating the fruit. He told her in verse 3, he says, "But of the fruit of the tree," which is, actually let's go back to verse 1, just so we can see the picture here. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Well, therefore, she misspoke when she said, "Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." God never said anything about touching it. He said, "Do not eat it." But then the serpent realized that he had her at that point. And the serpent said unto her, the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." See, this is the devil's deception. And this is, I believe this is one of the verses that the Mormons use when they talk about you become gods. That's why they have multiple tons of children. It's because they want to make God babies, so to speak, so they can go out and they can govern their own planets. I mean, it's a weird doctrine, but they do believe that. He says, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So this was the devil's deception, the devil's lie. He's the father of it. Okay? But not only did that, but he also tried to get Jesus to misstep or to tempt Christ. And all it did was prove that he was God, prove that he was perfect in Matthew chapter 4. So we see where he tried to deceive Eve. And see, we know because she did choose to eat of the fruit, and we know that Adam chose to eat of the fruit, that what happened? It says in verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They were ashamed. It brought shame because they did wrong. They disobeyed. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Christ. Matthew 4, starting at verse 1. It says, then when Jesus was led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. He was in the human flesh. And fasting 40 days and 40 nights, I would be hungry. I'd be starving. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He was trying to tempt him. The lust of the flesh. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he quoted this from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. But then we see there's two other times here. In verse 7, he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he said there in verse 10, he says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Three times he was tempted three times, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three areas were hit. And just to show that he had been tempted at all points, just like we are, that's what the Bible says. But then he says, in verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil, as I was speaking this morning about the power of the Word of God, the devil has no power against God's Word. But we have to rest in God's Word. We have to rest in His power, because in and of ourselves, we have no power against it. We're defenseless against the devil. God will bless an obedient life, and we see this. We're going back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Going back, it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Basically, David's saying, I'm not going to be ashamed when I'm being obedient. But we see here in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 18, we're going to look at. See, Joshua made it plain that in order to go in to possess the promised land, obedience to God's commands was an absolute to their success. So Joshua chapter 1. Deuteronomy Joshua chapter 1. Starting in verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is where Joshua's being commissioned. Moses had died and passed off the scene. As it says there in verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. And so all this time, working up to this point, Joshua was being prepared to lead God's people. And he's telling them here in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. See, we need to, he's talking about being obedient, and he says, from your obedience, you're going to be prosperous. Now, he's not talking about physical means. He's talking about success. In the world's eyes today, success is physical means, having lots of money and big houses and cars. But in God's talking about spiritual success. He's going to have victory in his spiritual walk. This book of the law shall not depart, verse 8, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what he's talking about, spiritual success, victory. We need to observe. We need to be saturated in God's word. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We read this morning in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Okay? If we're trusting in the Lord, he says he's going to be with us. We need not to be afraid. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Going all the way back to Numbers, or Deuteronomy, chapter, I think it's chapter 13 and 14, as I looked at this morning. We're not going to go there right this second. But they were dealing with the 12 spies going into the promised land, and only two came back, and that was Joshua, who is now leading the children of Israel, and Caleb. The rest of them brought an evil report. Why? Because their focus was wrong. But it says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. Then answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Only be strong and of good courage. So we see that in order for God to bless these people to go into the promised land, they needed to be obedient. He was expecting them to be obedient. And he said, if you don't follow, if you rebel against the commandment, you're going to be put to death. They didn't want that. They wanted obedience. That's where they were going to find rest once they went in and possessed the land. We're going to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we see the whole chapter. We're just going to kind of hit some highlights, but we're not going to read the whole chapter. But these are warnings and exhortations. But he says there in verse 8, he says, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. See, this is back before Moses. Moses was leading the people. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, to their seed, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And then we go on there in verse 13, and it says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land, rain on your land in due season, the first rain, the latter rain, and that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. See, constantly giving them warnings and telling, hey, obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings blessings. Therefore, in verse 18, it says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, as you shall teach your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before them, before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, that to love the Lord, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then he will drive out all these nations. All they had to do was be obedient, and God would have done the rest. But they continued, as we know, story after story. They get drawn aside. They start complaining. They start getting discontent with the situation. Why? Because they lost focus of God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. See, here we're dealing with the Apostle Paul. After many successful missionary endeavors, he sent a letter to Philippi, to the Philippians. Verse 21, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, Paul was trying to get them to see, when we are obedient, we have a hope in Christ. We are not going to be ashamed. We're going to be able to be bold, because that's what happens when we're obedient to Christ. We become more bold in our faith, more bold in our beliefs, more bold in what the Scripture has to say. But he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And see, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, he says, I die daily. There's a daily of dying to self. We need to die to self-desires in order for God to use us. But we also see there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're going to read both verses, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when we see God's will as being good, acceptable, and perfect, as it says there in Romans 12:2, when we're truly obedient to all of God's will, but see, this whole thing here of being obedient and accepting God's will as being good, acceptable, and perfect. There was one young man in the Scriptures in Mark chapter 10 that found it to be a stumbling block. He found it to be a stumbling block because he was unwilling to give up everything he had to accept Christ. He was unwilling to give up the riches that he had in order to receive eternal life. Mark chapter 10. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. But then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus knew by asking this young man to give up his riches, he knew that it was going to be a stumbling block. He knew that he could probably keep all these others, but there was one thing stepping between him and God, and that was his things. There's a lot of people in this world like that. See, his riches were his God. He was wanting eternal life, but he wasn't willing to give up what it took. Christ says, go sell everything you have. And then he says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. He was unwilling to sell what he has. He was unwilling to take up the cross and follow Christ. See, he did not expect this young man to become his own savior by selling all that he had, giving to the poor in order to have treasure in heaven. But in turning from Christ, as he did, in unbelief and disobedience, he necessarily failed to come to him savingly. He failed. He refused to take up the cross and it became impossible for him to follow Christ. Why? Because he had riches that he did not want to let go of. And there was a preacher at Grace here a long time ago that Pastor Miller had there, and I think his name was Clayton Shumpert. He preached a missions conference, and he said your purse strings, or for a man, wallet strings, are attached to your heart. See, money has a weird effect on people. You can really tell a lot about somebody when you give them a lot of money, what kind of person they really are. Because some people get crazy with it. Some people handle it well. It all depends on where your values are. But this young man was refused to take up the cross. It says he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was not willing to give up all for Christ. See, God's commands are now in the hand of a mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a judge. He will judge us one day. But Jesus himself, the mediator, in John chapter 12, John 12, in verse 50, says, And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So I speak. How is it so hard of a doctrine, the Lordship of Jesus Christ? How is it so hard? We turn back to John chapter 6. He was talking about John chapter 6. Jesus was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And I don't believe Christ meant it literally as they took it. But he says there in John chapter 6 verse 57, it says, As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, and even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, and as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What nephew shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is it the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Where is it such a hard doctrine, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, allowing him to be Lord of our lives, allowing us to submit to him, to his will? Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, he says at the end of the verse, and they are not grievous. They're not grievous. God enables us. He gives us the grace to work through them. He gives us the grace to be obedient to them. He doesn't ask us nothing that we cannot do with his help. He says, "Keep, if you love me, keep my commandments. They are not grievous." See, we must remember, according to Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, salvation is of the Lord. We must remember. And then it also says in 1 John 5, 4, it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, this is such a liberating fact. Why? Because Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He enables us to do everything we're supposed to do, and then some. He provides the means to do it. And why is it so liberating? It's because we are his workmanship. He created in Christ Jesus. He saved us. He will keep us. He will come back for us. Psalm 119 verse 6, it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. David was just simply saying that he's not going to be ashamed. He's going to be able to, when he says, I have respect unto all thy commandments, he's talking about obedience. See, sin brings shame. We've seen that in Genesis 3. But obedience brings confidence in the Lord's ability to show forth his grace to enable us to live for him. He gives us the confidence. And the more we trust him, the more we yield our life to him, the more we give to him, the easier it becomes. We never get to a point in our lives where we do not sin, but we do get to a point in our lives where we sin less. Obedience brings blessings. Let's pray.